Today we want to begin our study of the Holy Ghost to understand that there is no possible demonstration on this earth for anyone unless that individual has learned to receive the Ghost. Now you find very strangely that if you go through the Old Testament, you won't find the word at all. The Holy Ghost was not given to the world in the Old Testament. It was veiled. Such words like, Samuel did not know the Lord, meant he had not received the Holy Ghost. There was the word Holy Breath, and the people had visions of God off somewhere breathing into them a new life. Just how it was accomplished, nobody seemed to know. There's a statement that Moses married Shekinah. And that is as veiled as a statement can get, because Shekinah was this spirit, this presence, this light in the holy ark between the cherubim over the ark. And the marriage of Moses to Shekinah really meant that he had received the Holy Ghost. Always, man not being ready to receive the Ghost, a foundation had to be laid instead. And so people had no idea why they could never really come to God. They gave away pigeons and bullocks and doves and all kinds of sacrifices, but this was all a preparation to make them know that they had to begin giving something of themselves. This was to lay a foundation in the consciousness of man, which later would be called deny thyself. Pick up thy cross, follow me. And these words have often meant to the world to chase after the prophets or to follow the spiritual personalities, but always the veil was deny your human ego. Deny your human selfhood. Accept the Christ or light of your being, which is picking up your cross, and then follow me, the Holy Ghost. All of which is done within your consciousness. To become aware of the Holy Ghost is the way. When you become aware of Christ in you, then the activity of Christ, which is the Holy Ghost, becomes your way of life. And all human demonstration is impossible without the Holy Ghost. And so in the New Testament, we find reference to it many times. But what we do not find is the appreciation of the world that the man called Jesus walking the earth was the Holy Ghost. And so when we try to follow the man, we lose sight of the fact that the Holy Ghost is doing the miracle work. And when we hear that if you believe on me, the works I do, ye shall do, if we're thinking of the man, we do not realize the Holy Ghost is saying, if you believe on me, the works I do, ye shall do. And where am I? You can't find me in somebody else. You've got to find me in yourself. And then you become conscious that where you are is that Holy Ghost. You can't walk away from it. I will never leave you. You can ignore it. You can pretend it doesn't exist. You can pretend it's just a word in the Bible. Or you can do as those have done who are called illumined. You can say this Holy Ghost is the activity of God on earth. It's the activity of the infinite. It's the miracle worker who doeth the works. The Holy Ghost is the Father within. And I of mine own self can do nothing without the Father within. The Father worketh hitherto. The Holy Ghost is always where you are. And your failure to recognize it separates you in consciousness from your own being. And then, of course, your demonstration is a limited human selfhood, walking in the ways of the world, in the thought consciousness of the world, limited by the world's thought, unaware that in your true self, in the acceptance of the Holy Ghost, every frontier of limitation is pushed aside. It matters not if you were lacking supply yesterday. The moment you have attained a recognition of the Holy Ghost, then behold, I, the Holy Ghost, make all things new. And so we find that our real limitation has been that we, like those people back of old when Paul walked the earth, and they believed in God. He stopped them and said to them, I hear that you believe, but have you received the Holy Ghost? And they said, received it? We never even heard of it. And this, of course, is the purpose of the entire Christ demonstration, to show you that without your awareness of the Holy Ghost where you stand, you don't stand a ghost of a chance to demonstrate anything beyond mortality. Because I go unto the Father. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the invisible activity of the Father on earth. And unless you accept me, you're nothing but a mortal condemned to die. So we find references to sheep and goats. The sheep, of course, hear my voice. The sheep are aware of the Holy Ghost, and they are guided by it. The goats are stubborn. They're off in their own wills and their own egos. They may for a time seem to prosper, but without the Ghost to guide them, they are really nothing. Their branches cut off that must be purged. And we find many references to the quick and the dead. Now, quickening has always seemed to most people to be a case in which the vibrations of the body are quickened. Now, that isn't really accurate. That's the way it appears to a human mind. Quickening means something a little different. You know that the infinite is unfolding as you. And as the infinite unfolds, it comes through the glass darkly of human senses, and so this rate of unfoldment is rather slow. That's why we all get so impatient. The infinite through us unfolds so slowly because of the density of our own thought. Now, quickening speeds up the unfoldment of the infinite through you, so that the infinite becomes the accelerated activity of your being, made tangible and visible. This is the quickening. And so to the enlightened, more of infinity is unfolding at a quicker pace than to the unenlightened. And this is the difference between the quick and the dead. The quick have attained recognition of the Holy Ghost. The dead, unaware that the Holy Ghost is the life of God, are separated from the very life they seek. They are the mortal beings, but the quick are those who have attained a measure of their own immortality while walking on the earth. And so when Paul sees these people and they have not heard of the Holy Ghost, he's quite amazed. How can they believe in God, when we know that there are three who bear witness of God: God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now let's get it straight then, that we, seeking to find the truth, seeking to live the life that is free, unhindered by human thought and human powers, unhindered by the diseases and problems of the world, unhindered by the limitation called death, we seeking the life eternal, the true life, the life that is lived in God, showing forth the fullness of God's presence, we cannot come into this until we are willing to step out of the lower states of consciousness which enslave the world around us. And there are two. There is the material consciousness, a primitive state of consciousness, and there is the state of consciousness that many have found ourselves in, the mental. And it is most unfortunate, but that is where we have the most trouble. We all like to understand, and we get a sort of mental indigestion while we're doing it, not realizing that until you come above the mental consciousness, you cannot be in the mystical consciousness. You cannot be in both. And although we try to straddle the fence and be in the mystical, we remain in the mental as long as we are trying to understand. You cannot use the human mind as a creative force, as a thinking force. This is the trap, and this is the trap that prevents us from receiving the mystical consciousness of the Holy Ghost. Now then, what is this barrier that we must overcome? What does the ghost do when you have it? How do you prepare to receive it? How do you receive it? And when you receive it, what happens? How do you prevent it from coming to you? And what are the consequences if you do not receive it? You see, all of your spiritual life depends on that Holy Ghost. John gave us a clue when he said the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. But we had to find out how that Word was made flesh. Through the activity of the Holy Ghost. Now, when you try mentally to understand how you can increase your supply simply by knowing about God, you'll find that you're chasing your tail. You're going around and around in a circle, and even when you find something and think you know it, you don't know it. Because there is no truth in the human mind. You see, the entire teaching of truth is not about people at all. And if you stop and think, you'll see that Jesus was not teaching anything about people. Jesus was teaching about God, Spirit, light. Not about people. Jesus wasn't teaching people how to improve their lot in life, or how to heal their wounds, or how to be better, more comfortable, more successful people. He was teaching them how to break the veil, how to walk out of the world of matter into my Father's kingdom, which is not from hence. That's a backward way of saying, which is right here. When he said, my kingdom is not of this world, he added, and my Father's kingdom is not from hence. You don't have to go anywhere. Open to the Holy Ghost. Now, every miracle done on this earth was done by the Holy Ghost. Everything that you're trying to do must be done by the Holy Ghost. And if you keep on trying to do it, you're going to have alternate success and failure and ultimate failure. You cannot do it. Only the invisible spirit can do it. God must run God's universe, not a mortal being. There must be a surrender and understanding that until I attain a recognition of the Holy Ghost, I am a limited being. And if I have failure after failure, or success and failure alternating, it is because I am trying with my own mentality to encompass the infinite, and it cannot be done. You see, this brain is kind of like a nozzle of a long hose. And when you try to use the nozzle, you're not going to water the garden. You have to have the whole hose, all of it. And if you try to think your way into reality through this little nozzle of a brain, you'll find you don't have any connection to the infinite. You're wasting time. It's kind of like a painter who might drive miles and miles and miles to find the perfect scene, and finally arrive there and set up his canvas, and there it is, breathtakingly beautiful, ready to paint. He reaches for his palette and he finds all he has is two colors, black and white. What can he do? The essential is missing. You cannot paint the infinite with a human mind. Your palette is too limited. The palette of the infinite can only be painted by the Holy Ghost, comprehended and made flesh. And so let us erase the thought that I, with my brilliant brain and my capacity to think and to understand and to reason, can walk in the spiritual universe. This is the perennial trap of all those who are eager and dedicated, but refuse to see that deny thyself means precisely what it says. That pick up thy cross means you must let the Christ mind do the work. You must erase the human mind. And then the Holy Ghost will say, follow me. My Father worketh hitherto. I will go before you. I will do the work. I will take you into the fulfillment of everything that is called a promise in the Bible. I know where the land of milk and honey is. I am omnipresent. And now we're ready to do what the Bible says. We're ready to live the one life. There's your second trap. You want to draw from the world to yourself, and it won't work. You've got to give to the world from yourself, and that will work. And the reason is that you must turn from the outer. Instead of pulling it in from the outer, you must let the Holy Ghost give it out from the inner. That's a completely different sense of supply and health and everything else. If your supply has been dollars, 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 you don't have it. You're going to run out someday, no matter who you are. Your supply must be different than dollars. Your supply must be the Holy Ghost. When you have the Holy Ghost, I have 12 baskets full. I can feed the multitudes. I am greater than he who walks the earth. You must have a spiritual sense of supply, a spiritual sense of health, a spiritual sense of living. For instance, if your spiritual sense of supply is present, you're not looking for dollars. It's not on your mind. What you're looking for is to accept and receive the feeling of the Holy Ghost within you. And then the miracle of the Holy Ghost is the Word made flesh. I, the invisible, knoweth your needs. I, the invisible, will appear as that which you seek. And now you have a new dimension. Before, you were asking, seeking, and knocking for dollars. You asked God for dollars. You asked the Spirit for dollars. You knocked for dollars. It doesn't come that way. You accept the Holy Ghost. And then I, the Holy Ghost, intercede for you with the Father. I, the Holy Ghost, ask and seek and knock. I, the Holy Ghost, appear as. I am the miracle worker. Everything you do must come to that Holy Ghost. So let's locate it. When you find it, you'll discover that it has no partiality. It isn't going to favor Jim over Jack or Mary over Peter. The Holy Ghost is on this earth this minute, not only in an individual, but in every individual, and between every individual, and above every individual, and below every individual. The Holy Ghost on earth today is ready to move aside every mountain of problem that the world knows, but it must be accepted individually in consciousness. The great power to redeem and regenerate the earth is here and always has been. But we have tried to draw some of it to ourselves, to make it my personal property. And that's another trap. You cannot do it. You must leave the government of the invisible kingdom in the hands of the ghost. You must give yourself to it in total confidence that it knoweth all needs and that it is the living will of the Father on earth, present here, even though the human senses are unaware of it. We turn and we surrender to the invisible ghost, which is that creative force on earth which is dynamic but invisible. We accept it in my consciousness, in my heart. And then we confide in it. Then we trust it. Then we are guided by it. And it is the seamless garment. It is the one, infinite, invisible self. Its magic is beyond description. It is everywhere. And from the depths of itself, it produces itself wherever it is needed in its quantities and qualities, in just the way you would have wanted it if you were writing out your own prescription. But you cannot direct it or manipulate it. You cannot even seek or desire a thing or an object or a condition. You must accept that it is all-knowing, or else you are entering in with a human mind and you will fractionalize the infinite again, and you will again be in the glass darkly, which sees only what is in your own thought. Now try and accept the Holy Ghost. Perhaps this will help you. God is not unconscious. And God is not absent. God is present and conscious and running God's universe. The Son of God, the Christ, is each individual identity when realized. And when realized, that Christ becomes the activity of the ghost on earth. For you to receive the ghost, you must know yourself to be the light of God, the Christ. You must accept this before the ghost will function where you are, in your consciousness. If you have not made this acceptance, you cannot expect the miracle of the Holy Ghost to guide you. Now, watch closely and see that Jesus was demonstrating that the Holy Ghost is everywhere on this earth. There is not a single place in time or space where the Holy Ghost is not now, in full strength. The complete and total activity of God is in that Holy Ghost, and it is there where the Father says, "All that I have is thine." Your supply, your health, your body, your relationships, wherever they may be, everything you seek, everything you have sought, everything you will ever need unto eternity is now present and active as the Holy Ghost on earth. This is the living God. It's like a tremendous power plant. You hook into it with your conscious recognition of its invisible presence. And then you don't try to run it. You let your human self would be the nozzle through which this infinite pours, and let it pour at its own pace, at its own quickened way, to whatever level it feels necessary. And be grateful. Count your blessings. For this is how the miracle of life begins. We learn little about the early Jesus because his life began with the receiving of the Holy Ghost. And then every miracle poured forth, and after resurrection, we have the Acts. The Acts mean something very important to all of us. The Acts mean the deeds that were accomplished by those who received the Holy Ghost after Jesus walked from the earth. And so we have the Gospels and the Epistles of Paul. But before and between those Epistles and the Gospels, we have the Acts. We have the Holy Ghost received by the disciples. We have the tongues of flame. We have them speaking in tongues. And we have everywhere a disciple now converted from a normal human being into one who has power, into one who can do the works because he has received the Ghost. And everywhere they go, they bestow the Ghost, meaning they lift those around them into the realization of it. They raise the eye within. And those who receive the Ghost go forth and do the mighty works. All through the Acts, we see the result of what happens when individuals turn from the mental consciousness, the material consciousness, above even extrasensory perception and psychism, and open themselves carte blanche to the invisible God. Take over, Father, thy servant heareth. I accept that the presence of the Spirit is right here, functioning, bubbling over. I don't have to make it so. I merely have to step out of the thought of this world. First, there's a man, Jesus, and he promises, if you take this body away in 3 days, you're going to see it again. I will raise it up. Who's saying that? The Holy Ghost. I will raise it up. And then there's no Jesus. He's gone. But I is still there to raise it up, the Holy Ghost. Now that invisible Holy Ghost, which is still there to raise it up, is there when Jesus appears there at the beginning. Where Jesus stands, the invisible Holy Ghost is saying, if you destroy this body, I will raise it up. And then the body is gone, and that invisible Holy Ghost then raises it up. But that ghost is always present before the resurrection, before the crucifixion. Wherever Jesus stands, you're looking at the Holy Ghost. I am the light. I am the way. Then he looks at you and he says, ye are the light. Who's saying it to you? The Holy Ghost. But how can the Holy Ghost, which is invisible, say to you that you are the light when it's just said it is the light? It's telling you that I, the Holy Ghost, which is here standing behind Jesus as the light of his being, as the invisible self of him, I am standing where you are right now, and I am the light of you, and I am the Holy Ghost of you. And unless you know me, you cannot know the Father. If you know that I am the Holy Ghost of you now, you know the truth that will make you free. And if you do not know it and cannot accept it, you are separated from the truth that makes you free. I, who walked the earth as Jesus Christ, who did the miracles as Jesus Christ, I am the Holy Ghost of you now and have been since before your birth. And I will always be the Holy Ghost of you. I will never leave you. And one of these fine days, you will know me as I am. And that is when you will sit back and let go of this mortal self you've been carrying around in your mind. For the devil was such a one. I, the Holy Ghost, am your being. There is I and not you. There is one infinite Holy Ghost, and it is I and not you. And if you want to live in the fraction, you must be purged. If you want to live in the infinite self, then you must follow me. And you follow this ghost as a sheep, not a goat. As one who is ready and willing to be anointed, to receive the inner divinity, to trust, to know. And then you're taken out of all duality. You're taken into the mystical consciousness. And the mystical consciousness is not limited to a room or a place or a time. The mystical consciousness is everywhere the Holy Ghost is. And that is how the miracle begins. Now, in your mystical consciousness, you are living in the kingdom of God on earth. You're not under the law of this world. You're not harassed by circumstances. You're not fooled by appearances. And you're not separated from any being who walks this earth, no matter what form they take, no matter how pleasant or how ugly. You know yourself to be one being with no limitation in space or time. Do you see, if you want the infinite to function where this form appears, you must first accept that you are the infinite. Now, we all put up these barricades that prevent the Holy Ghost from entering our experience. It cannot enter a human experience. The Holy Ghost can only enter the body of spirit. The Holy Ghost can only walk in the invisible kingdom of God. And if you're not living there in your consciousness, you are not permitting the Holy Ghost to function your being. In your mystical consciousness, you can say with Jesus, "Who seeth me, seeth the Father. I speak not my own words, but the doctrine of the inner self. I'm not living my life. The Holy Ghost is living it here. All around you, you become alive. And that is the flames of fire that the disciples received when they received the ghost. You become alive. You speak with tongues because you are raised up above human differences. It should read, you speak all tongues because you are raised up above the belief that there are separate people and separate races and separate nations. You are lifted up to that realm where there is only one. And so you speak all tongues. In that one, you have found the reality that you could not find as a separate individual. Only in the reality of one can you live the divine life. And you can't do that mentally. It's impossible. The only way you can do that is to surrender and let the ghost do it for you. Now, that's where grace must be. In the surrender to the ghost, the feeling of its presence. And so, let's try now to recognize that all of the New Testament, every word of it, is to teach you that where your body appears, The Holy Ghost is standing doing a perfect job. That means no matter what you are doing now in the flesh, that is only your mental interpretation, and invisibly there stands the perfection of God's activity. That Holy Ghost is the divine image. Your concept of it is your human image. And as you receive more of it, it will change the human image to the divine. Now we are but children, learning to begin the process of regeneration. Regeneration refines the body, refines the mind, refines the experience of this life, bringing it closer and closer to the divine image. Regeneration feeds you from the infinite. It feeds you the fullness of God. That's how the Word, which is Christ, is made flesh and appears among us. The firstborn who received the Word received the activity of the Word, which was the Ghost, and then was reborn of the Spirit and the truth, and was able to walk among us in a body, not subject to this world. We are to follow. And we follow by letting ourselves be regenerated by the activity of the infinite pouring itself through the unmolested, the untouched Holy Ghost. And this is your immaculate conception. This is how you must be reconceived of the Spirit. This is not a teaching for people. It's a teaching about God and God's Word and God's will and God's substance. This is a teaching for those who are ready to accept their immortality on the earth and to live in the image of God under divine law, in the body of the soul, under spiritual law. And as long as we cling to our yesterdays, to our cherished human ideas, even the highest of these human ideas is a limitation. We're breaking the shell, breaking through the veil of time and space, of matter and form, of ego and will, and letting that which is called the way be the way in our lives. We're no longer going to be goats, but sheep. And the inner shepherd is that ghost which goes directly to the Father. All around us, it is now functioning. You will not attain it, it is here. You will not become it, it is here. You will not rise up to it, it is here. You don't go to it. You withdraw from the belief of a human selfhood. You withdraw from the belief in a human mind. You withdraw from the belief that there are powers in this world, that there is power in human thought and human muscles and human weapons. You withdraw from the belief that there are power in things. You withdraw from the belief that there's power in money, drugs, medicine, surgery. You withdraw from the belief that there is power in anything except the Holy Ghost. All power is in the Ghost. It is the one power. It is omnipotent. And if you cannot accept that, you have to work until you can. It will not share its omnipotence with you while you still have an idol, a second self, or belief in other powers. Because any belief you have in a second power means that you're in a second selfhood. And I repeat, the ghost will only function in itself. It will not function in a mortal consciousness. The consciousness must change. Those of you who find that this appeals to you and hits a responsive chord in you are ready to do that or have done it. And whoever says, well, this is not for me, it would be better that you realize that. Because if it's not for you, you shouldn't be doing it. You should seek an easier teaching, because this is not an easy teaching. This is the most difficult teaching on this earth. It is the narrow path. And it is for those who have exhausted every other possibility for themselves and are looking for that which will take them into the infinite on earth. It is meant for those who are ready to throw away all of the fetters of the human mind. For those who are not seeking human betterment, but have reached the place where they know that if you are in the spirit, you are self-contained in every possible way. Now, what we've done so far today, and maybe in the second half, is really just a meager beginning for our study of the ghost. But unless all consciousness is centered on the knowledge that the ghost is all that is present here, and all that is present in this universe, we are not in the one life. And how can you receive from the one life if you're not in it? The allness of the spirit cannot flow except within itself. The withdrawal from everything that is not your spiritual self must be done. And so now, I feel the ghost is a necessity for every day. It is the invisible infinite. It is present. If you cannot acknowledge it in all thy ways, it cannot direct thy paths. And so you've got this job to do, right where you are. Can you let go? Can you release this human self? Can you fall back and relax upon the infinite, invisible ghost of God? The activity of God, the knowledge of the presence of God? Say, it is here, I accept. I release all of my own activity. If you can't, don't expect any miracles. If you can, expect the greatest. Because the greater works will you do if you believe on me, on my presence, on my reality, on my nearness. So Paul says we live in God. In him we live and move and have our being. The activity right now of the Holy Ghost can be realized as your being. You'll know when you realize it, because you'll say, well, what am I fighting for? What am I striving for? Everything that I have done in the way of striving was a denial of this ghost. Instead of resting in the Word, I have been striving. But it says rest. Rest. That means believe on me. I am infinite mind right here. Infinite body. Infinite law. Infinite principle. Infinite purpose fulfilled. Believe on me. And then the only work you have is to continue believing on me. That's how you rest. you rest in the knowledge that all this is true. Here and now, the Spirit of God, the Christ of God, the Ghost of God are all my one being. That's who I am. And because of it, my work is already done. I trust the Word to be the flesh. I trust the power to be the power. I trust the mind to be the mind. I rest my second self, the one who didn't think that the power was here. To you, the Holy Ghost becomes a living truth, not an abstraction. And you are really moving out of the visible into the invisible, out of the world into the kingdom, out of the speculation and doubt and confusion into the peace of my presence, my love, my power, my truth, my perfect universe all around you. Disciples could do that, and they stayed in that consciousness for a long time, faithfully. And then one day, the sky broke open. Heavens descended to the Son of Man. One day, everything was magnified upon the earth for them, and they could walk forth now as sons of God realized. Each could say, I live, yet not I. Christ liveth my life, and that activity of the Christ is the Father working hitherto as the Holy Ghost. Dollars will appear, supply will appear, food will appear, health will appear, but mostly the invisible body is being built that walks through the fire, that needs no human help of any kind, that never stops at the grave, but continues right on walking in the invisible kingdom. That is the body of the Holy Ghost. The body of pure consciousness. Please let your efforts be concentrated on the acceptance of this invisible living activity of God all around you. If you could see it fizz, move, think, be, you would know how real it is. It is the only reality around you. And the moment you have withdrawn the belief that the living forms you see are reality, you will feel this invisible power. You will break the veil of the glass darkly. You won't be worrying about physical forms or human lives. You will behold him face to face. And then instead of saying, I do not know the Lord, you, like Moses, will be married to Shekinah. And like Jesus, you can say, the Father and I are one. There's a new meaning too, if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. Before it meant, if Jesus went not away, the disciples would not find the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. But that I is the human I, the personal I. And he was telling each of us, if the personal I of you does not go away, the Comforter will not come to you. If the personal I go not away, the Comforter cannot come, because the Comforter must come to that house which is the consciousness of God, not to a personal ego seeking betterment. If ego goes not away, if self-will goes not away, if personal sense of me goes not away, if my humanhood is still held here as a fact, then for you there is no Holy Ghost to live your infinite perfect life. Choose ye this day. Maybe this is something of what Paul said to those men when they had not heard of the ghost. He had to prepare them to know that God didn't create a universe and then walk out of it and leave it to someone else to run. God is present in every inch of God's universe as the only being. And that activity of God being the only being is the Holy Ghost. When you know it is the real activity of you, you will say, Father, how could I have doubted that you were somewhere else? You are the activity of me now. And all God being invisible, all that activity is invisible, and that's where you accept it, in the invisible. Otherwise, you will never see it in the visible. Now we'll just rest a moment. All around us is activity. Be aware of it, even though your senses do not know this. All around us is activity. It is life being itself. It is all-knowing life, all-powerful life, all being. It is all around us constantly, 24 hours a day. There's no more of it over here and no less of it over there. Everywhere is invisible, perfect life being itself. The only way you lose it is to try to be a second life. And so you start doing with your mind, with your body, with your hopes, with your emotions. And now you have broken the continuity of the infinite. You're in the finite of your own conscious thought. You're walking with the world. And in the separation, all that the Father is knocking at your door, but you have no way to open that door. You keep it outside of your experience. Conversely, if you are willing to be still, to rest, to abide, to accept, and to let, you simply stand knowing. And in your knowing, you are accepting with a two-edged sword. You are accepting on this side that all around me is action, perfect action of perfect God, in every possible way. Not one single thing is missing. You must know this. And on the other side, whatever comes at you to deny this, that's where you use the other side of your sword. Whatever comes at you to deny this, you cut away. You refuse to accept any visible denial of the truth that perfection is all around you, bubbling over. You don't try to make anything happen. You don't seek anything. You accept the infinite perfection all around you as a living fact. And anything that denies this cannot be true if this is true. Somebody says you've got a cancer. Well, that's a denial of the fact that the infinite, invisible activity of God is present doing its job. And so if it is, the cancer must be a lie. If you accept the cancer, you are denying the Holy Ghost as being present. And as you deny it, obviously you lose it. As you accept it, you must reject the belief that there is a cancer. You say, will that remove it? It will appear to you as if it removes it, because it cannot be there in the first place. It can only seem to be. All that is there is the perfect activity of the Holy Ghost and no other. That is the truth everywhere you are. All that is there is the perfect activity of the Holy Ghost. And it isn't the Holy Ghost of somebody else or some other being. It's the Holy Ghost of you. It is your being that you're accepting as the perfect activity of God. You see, that's not two anymore. That's one. I am. That activity of the Holy Ghost, I am. And what's this thing saying cancer? What's this thing saying rheumatism? What's this thing saying lack of dollars? Perfect activity of the Holy Ghost, I am. If I am, and because I am, these denials that appear in the world cannot be true. If they are true in my consciousness, then I am saying that I am not. And this is how we all lose identity. We are all declaring every day, I am not. I have this wrong and that wrong, and therefore the activity of God standing here as the ghost is not here. We deny the ghost. We deny the presence. We deny our identity. We deny our spiritual reality. And then we bemoan the fact that we don't see the activity of God in our lives. Deny thyself. And so your double-edged sword is one side to accept what is, the other side to reject or cut away what is not. You don't have to resist it. Recognize it as a nothingness. You don't have to kill the snake that isn't there. Recognize it as not there. The recognition of what is not there, even though it seems to be, is the end of the hypnosis. Whenever you recognize the non-reality of what seems to be there, you will find that it disappears. Because only the Holy Ghost is there. And the more you work with that until you know it to be true, until every fiber of your being shouts, here stands the Son of God, the living activity of God, and only that, when that happens, you're ready to begin walking, not in a limited place, but everywhere. You're ready to explore the invisible kingdom. We should all feel this out-of-the-body experience, because when you feel it, you will have enough food to continue in that direction. You won't be concentrating on a little me standing in a little form. but the very atmosphere all around you will be charged with a different kind of excitement. That's how you'll recognize the quickening which makes the invisible word flesh. Nothing should surprise you then, because the miracles that pour forth are not miracles at all. They're merely reality becoming visible because you've accepted it. There are no miracles in God. Perfection is the law, the rule, the permanent dispensation. As this perfection appears, we call it miracles. But it's always present, and that's all that is present. I and the Holy Ghost are one and the same.